Good morning, everyone. How's it? It's good to be in church this morning. It's always great to have a baby Thanksgiving and such a joyful thing for us to do. And I just think before we get into the word again, just to come over to say to you guys, like, what a joy it is being a parent. You know, it's what a journey it is of struggle, but joy as well. And just what a day for us to celebrate with you and thank God for this beautiful little boy. And I know that, you know, as a parent myself, I think it's been one of the biggest blessings of my life, one of the biggest things that has shaped me and changed me, made me a better person. I thank God for being a parent. It's amazing. And I think one of the highlights really is what it does for us is it gives us just a glimpse of the Father's love for us. The love we have for our children is just a glimpse for Father God and his love for us. We'll never get even close to his love for us, but being a parent gives us that glimpse. So bless you guys, and we're celebrating, we're joyful with you this morning. And so we're going to speak a little bit this morning. There will be some parenting application that will come out this morning. But if you're not a parent, don't switch off. There is application for every single person in the room here today. We're going to continue in our preaching series called Knowing Jesus. So knowing Jesus, the point of this is all that we want to know Jesus more for ourselves. Know who he is. Look at him. Really look at him. And it's really hard for us to follow someone if we're not looking at them. Don't you think? It's really hard for you to really follow someone if your eyes are not on them and you're not looking at them and you want to know them. And for me, I want to be shaped by Jesus more than anything. I want my character to be more and more like Jesus every day. And to do that, I need to look at him. I need to know him more. So that's what we're going to be doing today. And so we're going to jump ahead in the Gospel of Mark. We're staying in the Gospel of Mark, but we're going to jump ahead to two interactions that Jesus has with children as it's a baby Thanksgiving. So we're keeping it in the series, but it's going to be very relevant for a baby Thanksgiving today. And so just to make the point that this is relevant for every single person, I just want to pose a question to us, and I'd love us to start all thinking about this. How do you treat other people? Just want you to just think on that. How do you treat other people? And as you're thinking about that, it would be really interesting. I'm not going to ask for feedback at this point because it might not be helpful. But I wonder what thoughts are going through your mind right now. How do you treat other people? And I wonder if there's more than one person here who's thinking, it depends on who it is. Honestly, if we're honest with ourselves, did anyone have that reaction? It rather depends on who it is. Okay, and that was when I was considering this for myself. That was one of the first things that came in. It was like, that would be a common thought. It depends on who it is. Now I wonder, should this be the mindset of someone who is following Jesus, looking at Jesus, and wanting to be more like him? Should that be our mindset if our eyes are on him and want to be more like him in character? I'm not sure that's a good mindset for someone who is following Jesus. I include myself in this, by the way. I'm not condemning anyone. I'm saying it's how do we look and treat other people? Are we doing it in the way that Jesus did? Do we want to do it to the way that he did? Because how did Jesus treat other people? He treated other people with love, with grace, and with patience. How am I treating other people? Am I at that standard of treating people with love and grace and patience? Are you at that standard? Or could every single one of us here grow a little more in this area? Could every single person in this room, is there an opportunity for growth here? I think there is, so I'm going to keep going. How do we treat other people? Do we want to really be more like Jesus in this way? Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus, so much for your love, for your grace, for your patience to us. Lord, that's what we receive from you, is love and grace and patience. And so, Lord God, we just welcome you here today, and we ask that you change us, shape us, make us more like you in every area, including how we treat other people. All for your glory. Amen. Amen. So if you have your Bible, if you could open it in the book of Mark, we're going to go to chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 33 to 37 to start with. And it says this. So they came to Capernaum. When he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the road?" But they kept quiet because on the way they had argued about who was the greatest. So we just pause there. We think this is a fun parenting situation that all parents can relate to. We've caught our kids out doing or saying something they should not be doing, and we know full well what's going on, and we ask that parenting question, what's going on here? And you get the cute, innocent face looking back going, nothing. But you've got paint on your hands and there's paint on the wall. What's happened? I don't know. And then you fast forward that a few more years into the future and you've got teenagers and it's like, right, here's my pizza that I want left over. I'm leaving that in the fridge. I don't want anyone to eat that. That's for Dad. Don't touch that. You come back later. You open the fridge. No pizza. Who's got my pizza? Was it? Don't know. No one knows where the pizza has gone. And then what about as adults when we get caught out maybe gossiping? Maybe doing something that we should not have been doing, and we're confronted by that situation. What's our response? Do we look back blankly, hoping that it will all just go away? Do we defend ourselves wrongly and lie and misrepresent what's happened because we're feeling a bit ashamed? It goes right down from little kids all the way up to adults, doesn't it? That we can get caught out doing things that we shouldn't be really doing. We're confronted with it. What's our response going to be? So that's the first thing for us to kind of consider on this. What do we do about it? What's Jesus' response? Verse 35, sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, anyone who wants to be the first must be the very last and the servant of all. He's calm. It's amazing, isn't it? He sits down. He's not exploded at them. He's calm. What can we see from this? This is a teachable moment. This is a really teachable moment. And as parents, how important is it for us to look for the teachable moments? When something has happened that we're not particularly happy with, and we blow up and we explode, we lose our rag, at that point we've lost the teachable moment. Because then we've just been consumed with our own, oh, my pizza. We've lost the teachable moment. What Jesus does here, he grabs the teachable moment and he's calm with it and he's clear with it and he gives them the instruction. And what is the teachable moment that Jesus is bringing here? He says this, anyone who wants to be first must be the very last and servant of all. The words of Jesus, our Savior, the one we follow, the one we want to be more like, says to us, anyone who wants to be the first must be the very last and the servant of all. And we come back to the question at hand, how do we treat other people? How do you treat other people in the workplace? How do you treat other people in the family and your friends? Do you have that servant-hearted nature? How do you feel about putting others first? Already this morning, are you feeling like, oh yeah, I probably could make some changes. What are the sort of things you could change this week? In what way could you put others first and serve others this week? In the way that Jesus does. I read a really great quote, which I absolutely love, from a guy called Jason Meyer, who wrote the book Mark for You. This is the study guide we recommended at the start of this preaching series. And he said this, greatness does not tear others down to elevate oneself. True greatness elevates others. True greatness sees how to empower someone, not overpower them. When we become a servant, we do not make others our servants. I think that's a great observation. Really biblical observation for us. And it makes me think about tearing people down. And when you tear people down, if you know anyone, of course no one here would do this. I'm just, you know, let's imagine for a moment that you know someone who regularly tears others down. Often what's happening in that situation is there's a real lack of security there. You don't have someone who's confident and secure in who they are and who they are in Christ tearing others down. You don't tear down from a place of security. And so if you're being honest with yourself and you can register at the moment, you think, do you know, actually, there's times I can be negative. There are times I can tear others down. I want to encourage you to be honest with yourself and consider what could be going on there. What could be causing that? And I want to encourage, if you know that's you, for you to be really brave and to talk to someone you trust about that and say, do you know what? I heard this thing and it's made me a bit angry. I'm not sure if it's me. What do you think? Someone who you can really trust and say to someone, look, I might be aware that I maybe possibly sometimes could be negative and maybe sometimes could tear people down. What do you think of that? And have someone who you trust who's going to speak the truth to you, not just say, oh, no, it's fine, don't worry, but who's really going to speak the truth to you and say, do you know, actually, yeah, sometimes that can happen. Will you be brave enough to have that conversation with someone and be vulnerable enough to receive what they might say? Very good, Scott. We'll talk later, but the point I'm making is talk to someone you trust. Do it with someone. Don't say to just anyone. Go talk to someone you can trust, because then what can happen is you can be brave enough to say, look, if I'm tearing others down, I recognize that's not how Jesus tells me to treat other people. I recognize this is a problem for me. I need to deal with it. And the root cause might be our own insecurities. And so what I'm encouraging you to do, if you're feeling that this might be for you, be brave and speak to someone about it and try and work that stuff through. That's the encouragement. We want to look at Jesus. We want to see him. We want to be more like him. Not just settle for being stuck in a rut. Well, it's always been this way. I'm not going to change now. That's not following Jesus. That's getting stuck in a rut. There's a scripture in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 4. This is something that we read at the start of every pastoral care team meeting. This gets read at the start of the meeting. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. And the point of that is that we should be hungry to receive comfort and compassion from God the Father for ourselves. And as part of that, we don't just hold on to that. That should flow out of us into other people. That in our parenting, for sure, this should be something that we offer our children comfort and compassion and love. But that comes from that connection that we have with God. It's not going, hey, look at me, I'm a great parent. It's going, God, I need you in this situation. I'm running out of patience. I need my pizza and I need that comfort from you so I can enjoy this teachable moment and love my children well. Does that make sense? We go to God. We have this, what is our identity? If it's in Christ, let that shape who we are and let that shape what we do. As we're receiving comfort and compassion, we give that out to everybody. What did Jesus do next? He took a little child and placed among them. Taking the child in his arms, he said to them, whoever welcomes one of these little children in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me does not welcome me, but the one who sent me. How are we at welcoming other people? Does it come back to the thing of depends who it is? How are we at welcoming other people? It says here that to welcome a small child is to welcome God. There's a humility here, isn't there? When we think about a small child, let's consider for a moment small children. What do they bring to the family dynamic? There's a lot of mess. There's a lot of expense. They don't really add to the clearing up of the house. What they do is they trash the house. They cost money and they keep you up at night. That's some of it. But what do we do this? Do we welcome people who have nothing to give us tangibly? So a child, their children are amazing. When they're little, they don't really contribute to the running of the house, but they add to a lot of the jobs. So the point I really want to make to this is, yes, how do we look after and welcome children? That's really important. To treat children and vulnerable people well is so, so important. But how do we treat all people? People who maybe are offering us nothing. I was talking to a friend this week and we were talking about the difference between networking and church family. So networking, quite a businessy term. You go to an event, you want to make connections, and there's this mutual win-win benefit. You're looking to, oh, I've met this person, they can do this for me, and I can do this for them. That's a helpful networking connection. It's not like that in a church family. We're not looking for people who can help us, and we can help them, and this is give and take. It's very much, how can I help people? Is that our attitude? Are we going to come to church and say, how can I help you? How can I serve you? It's not networking. And this is the point that Jesus, what does Jesus do for those who had nothing to offer him? Which, by the way, is every single one of us in this room. Like, none of us here have anything that we can offer Jesus apart from our lives. What does Jesus do for us? Everything. everything. He gives us love and grace and patience and acceptance. He gives us life in all its fullness. He gives us everything. We have nothing to offer Jesus. And he calls us to do the same, to love people, to welcome people, people who are most vulnerable. You may have heard when we talk about safeguarding here, anyone who's heard about safeguarding around church areas, we would have talked about 318. 318 is a Christian organization that if we have a concern for someone, that we can phone them up and say, hey, we've got this concern, what do you think, what do you recommend we should do in terms of helping this person we think may or may not be in trouble. So it's a really good system that we have here. We're very pleased about it. Safeguarding is very important. If you're worried about anyone, there's safeguarding posters all over the place. Follow the posters and people will be safe. It's good. But why am I bringing this up now? 31:8, what's that a reference to? It's a reference to Proverbs 31:8, which I'm going to read to us now. And it says this, speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. And it goes on, speak up, judge fairly, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. How are we doing at looking out for people who are poor and vulnerable? Are we on the front foot in looking out for people who are the most vulnerable? Or are we more concerned with networking? This is not about networking. This is about us loving and caring, welcoming the child, welcoming the stranger. This is what it's about. Looking after the vulnerable is the calling and the job of every person in this room. It's all of our jobs to look after people who are vulnerable. In the church, outside of the church, wherever you go, being a Jesus follower, wherever you go, we should be, our radar should be on looking for the poor and vulnerable and asking how can we help and serve them. And I want us just to consider so far what we've heard in Mark and consider what clarity Jesus has brought about being great and being humble and all this kind of stuff and using a child as an example. So think that in your mind's eye. What does that picture look like, I wonder, in your mind's eye as you think about Jesus in this teachable moment, sitting down with his disciples, going through all this stuff. What does that look like? And then consider in a few verses' time, this happens. Mark 10, 13, 16. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. The word has got out that Jesus is really good with kids. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for such is the kingdom of God." Sorry. "For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and he blessed them. What a beautiful picture of Jesus, fully God, fully human, scooping up the vulnerable, the lowly, the children who people were shooing away and telling to go away. This is what our Savior does. He picks up the children in his arms and he blesses them. We come to Jesus in vulnerability and humility and he blesses us. And I want to share with you guys that Jesus is very fierce with the proud and he's very gentle with the humble. He's very fierce with the proud and he's very gentle with the humble. The word in here is really descriptive, isn't it? Jesus was indignant. What sort of image does that create for us? We've got the disciples there thinking they're doing a pretty good job, and he is indignant with them. He is not happy with their behavior, with what they're saying. It's really important that we see in this, Jesus doesn't send them away and say, right, I've had enough of you guys now, off you go. But what he is saying is, I am unhappy with what you're doing and your behavior and your attitude, and you are wrong. It's very possible for Jesus to love us and tell us we're wrong at the same time. And I think we can really draw this from the passage. He doesn't send the disciples away, but he is clearly not happy with them. And what we mustn't do in this text is look at it and go, well, Jesus, in the first time, he had the teachable moment where he was calm and he told them clearly, and that's it, strike two. Bam, he gave it to him. So I'm going to take that from the passage, that I'm going to be calm with person the first time, and the second time I'm going to let him have it. That is not what we take from this passage, guys. We do not use this as an excuse to say, well, Jesus got indignant with people. So the fools around me, I'm going to let them know. That is not what we take from the passage. Do I hear an amen? Very good. Jesus is saying to the people here, you are in the wrong. I am being very clear with you now. I'm being very stern with you and very clear. It is not okay for you to treat poor and vulnerable people in this way. And this is such a consistent message of Jesus. You do not treat poor and vulnerable people badly. And so we need to be very sure that if we are treating others badly, Jesus is not affirming that behavior. And so we need to consider, again, honestly for ourselves, how are we treating other people? Because if we're treating people badly, we can be sure Jesus is not affirming that. He's not going to send us away. He's not going to take his love away from us. He doesn't cast us out. But we need to be clear, he is not happy with that situation. Now, I, for one, would rather Jesus bless me than be indignant with me. I don't know about you guys, but I'd much rather have the blessings of Jesus than face him being indignant. I'll leave that with you to think for yourselves which one you would like. And again, just considering, if we are aware that we're not treating people well, what are we going to do about it? Because if we're really following Jesus, a very natural fruit of that should be us treating other people well. It absolutely should be. The scripture goes on and talks about, I've lost my space, give me a second. Do not hinder them. Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. And again, we think from a parenting point of view. Mums and dads in the room. What image are we giving to our kids of God as Father? Because when we get this wrong, when we miss the teachable moments all the time and we respond in anger, we are not helping our children relate to God as Father in the way that we should be. And the last thing we want to do as parents is put a blockage in the way for our kids knowing Jesus. Do not hinder the children to come and meet with Jesus. And that applies to all of us in all situations, of course, when we're, if we're treating people badly, if we're saying, hey, we're in the workplace, we're a Christian, and actually we're the most miserable person there, be sure you are a hindrance to people knowing Jesus. For real. If you're in the workplace and you are the grumpiest person, the most critical person in your office, you are hindering people coming to Jesus. We need to register this and go, okay, what does it mean to know Jesus, to follow Jesus in our homes, in our workplaces, with our friends, with our families? What should it really look like if we're really knowing and following Jesus? I don't know about you guys, but I feel very challenged by this. I'm not saying this and pouring out condemnation on people. I'm talking to myself as much as anyone else in this room. But what I'm saying is that if we're all honest with ourselves, each one of us could consider this and go, okay, can I treat people a little bit better? Are we being a model to our children? The kingdom of God belongs to such as these. What does that mean? Kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Such as who? Such as children. Such as the weak, the humble, the lowly, the people of no status. Kingdom of God belongs to such as these. How are we going to engage with that? How are we going to help people come into the kingdom of God? How do any of us respond to this? It's in that place that Jesus blesses them. He blesses the children. These lowly kids who have been kept to one side, Jesus, he elevates them. And says these are the best of all. What a situation. Imagine that situation. Imagine being there and seeing that. Imagine being that child that was scooped up by Jesus in his loving arms and to be blessed by Jesus as a small child. I wonder what that person went on to do. Incredible. Will we be humble in heart? Will we be lowly in character? Will we be servant of all? And in that way, that's when we're actually the greatest. So how will you respond to this message you've heard this week? How will we, any of us, respond to the scripture this week? I want to encourage you, go away, read it again for yourselves. Take your time, read through it. Invite the Holy Spirit, say, Holy Spirit, come and provoke me, show me where I need to be kinder to other people. Show me where I need to treat other people better than I currently do. If your parents, prayerfully consider, how can I apply this to my parenting? Am I doing anything that's actually causing a barrier between my kids and God? Let's take responsibility for our actions. Let's really know Jesus, really follow him and his character. What will you do about it this week? I'm just going to come into land now. I'd love to just pray for us before I invite the worship team to come back. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I thank you for today. Lord, we thank you that we get to gather and thank you for new life and to celebrate being families, to celebrate being church family as well. Thank you, Jesus, for how you treat each of us with love, with grace and with patience. Holy Spirit, would you provoke us and show us ways that we have not treated others in that way, where we have treated other people poorly, and that has actually caused a blockage and a hindrance to them coming to you. And Lord, we're sorry for the times we've done that. We're sorry for the times that we've done things in our own strength or done things out of frustration or anger when our own goals have been blocked and we've been essentially selfish. And Jesus, I'm sorry for that, for the times I've been selfish. Shape us, Jesus. Make us more like you. Let everything we do bring you glory, Lord, and not hinder people coming to you. Lord, inspire us to treat other people well, all for your glory, so we can turn it all back to praise. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.